Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see your smiling faces. We are blessed to be here together with one another and to worship God together. There's actually another verse to Blue Skies and Rainbows, not written by Gary Mabry, but one that is written from the letter to the Romans. I didn't want to spring it on Jeremy, and so I thought, well, I'll just lead it myself. And so the words look pretty familiar, right? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it is the power that saves us today. Let's sing this together, and then let's sing Redeemed right after this. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it is the power that saves us today. I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Amen. And that is the theme this morning as we are concluding this series on the cross of Christ. This is the theme today that we're going to talk about salvation. Before I do that, though, I do want to mention some of the upcoming sermons that we're having. And so since next week is our fall festival game time for kids, we want to encourage you to be here for our potluck and then to help with that next week. Next Monday is the date that we typically see is called Halloween. And that's when scary things can happen. Different people are trying to scare one another. And so I thought it'd be fitting that our sermon next week would be called Fear Not. And we're going to talk about why we don't need to be afraid of the things of this world. And then after that, we're going to end our year together, 2022, with a series called Seven. And these are the seven words, the seven statements from the cross that Jesus says himself. From the cross. And so that will be the series, and that will take us all the way to the end of 2022, and then we can celebrate 2023 together. I have no idea what I'm doing then, so it'll be a surprise, but we'll give you notice. We'll let you know what's coming up, but right now we're talking about the cross of Christ. And as we've gone through this series, I thought let's recap the things that we've talked about. And these lessons are available online if you'd like to listen to any of them. But we talked first about the cross of Christ being this foolish message. And we took the passage from 1 Corinthians that said that this message is a foolish message to this world, those that are perishing in this world. And so that's where this title comes from. We also talked about the cross giving us the endurance we need. You know, we run this race in this world, and we're able to overcome the obstacles and the fear. We're going to talk about that next week, the fear and the weariness of this world as we run this race. We get endurance from the cross. The cross has enemies, and we don't say that lightly. As Paul did in his letter to the Philippians, he said it with tears in his eyes. He said it with tears in his eyes. How do we treat these enemies? We treat them with love, and we pray for them. That's what we do for our enemies. And we do so with tears, because we don't want them to continue to be enemies. And then we talked about the cross that we take up, that we're called to follow Christ and to take up our cross and to walk with him as disciples. And then we talked about the cross bringing our friends and family together. We had our Friends and Family Day, and we talked a little bit about that together. And then it was mentioned that the cross is powerful. You know, its message was powerful in itself in the way that God also showed his might in the events that followed the crucifixion, the things that happened with the earthquakes and the darkness and all the dead saints in Christ that were rising up. And then there was the sign of the cross last week, the sign over Jesus' head, which was offensive to the Jewish leaders because it proclaimed that Yahweh was hanging right there on the cross in front of them. And then that leads us to today. The cross leads to salvation. Well, forgiveness is not always an easy thing to give. And to have salvation, we need forgiveness. We have places in our lives where someone has done something wrong to us, and then we struggle in the way that we're called to forgive, yet having this distrust still among those people and in our minds. Well, when I was a student in college, I was struggling to figure out my place in this world, what my role would be in a career. Even with a degree, I wasn't sure what it would look like to have a job pursuing my degree. Would I truly be able to find a church that I could minister in? Or would I need something outside of my degree? Well, on campus, the job of the resident director of dorm life was opening up in my old dorm room. My old dorm director was leaving that role. He was taking on another role in the school, and so he wouldn't live there anymore, and that position was open. So as a young resident assistant, I threw my hat into the ring. I knew the job. I knew that I could handle it. Well, I wasn't the only one with that idea. They probably had dozens of applicants for this job, this one job. And one of those applicants was a friend of mine. His name is Darren. He was a fellow member of the same social service club on campus. We were called the Kingsmen. And he was one of the students that I was directly in charge of during that pledge week. And so I was familiar with Darren, and we knew each other really well. Well, this word was getting around campus about the different people who had applied. And with that word comes rumors and other gossip about who would be best for that role, especially if it was a fellow student. And you were going to have to listen to their direction and their rules about living in the dorm. Not an easy thing. Well, this rumor had gotten around and come back to me that Darren had been telling people that as for my candidacy, I was not a responsible person, and I shouldn't be the dorm supervisor. Well, when I heard about that, I kind of laughed at first. It was kind of funny to me that he would say that. I was a part of different campus things on life, different activities, and I had led some of those as well. To be considered unreliable or irresponsible just was not true, and everyone knew that. But to hear that a friend was going around and saying this was heartbreaking. It hurt my feelings that he would say this and that he believed it. And that's even more heartbreaking. Why would you believe that about me? So at first I laughed, and then I got kind of angry about it. But after a bit, I realized that maybe it wasn't true, and so maybe I should talk to him. But even after some more reflection, I realized that so many people were after this job that it was probably silly for me to even believe I had a shot anyway. And so on top of this, I determined I wasn't going to worry about what someone had said, true or not, because I knew that responsible and the reliable thing to do would be to forgive Darren, whether he had said it or not. I knew we would eventually run into each other. It was a small campus, and so in my heart, I had already forgiven him, whether he said it or not. We did run into each other on the way to something that was happening across campus, and everybody was headed over there. And as we approached each other, he started to say, "Hey, Mike, I didn't say this. This rumor's not true." And I just stopped him, and I put my arm around him, and I said, "Don't worry about it. I'm your friend. I don't care if you said it. I don't care if you didn't say it. I've already moved on." Well, in our lesson today, Christ's sacrifice on this cross provides the forgiveness that we need in our lives. And it gives us the ability to extend that forgiveness to other people. On the cross of Christ, we will explore this idea that the cross leads to salvation. So let's read our text this morning. It comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 41. And we'll have it on the screen here for you. Acts chapter 2. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This passage here is the result of Peter's declaration and sermon following the Holy Spirit's resting on each of them and speaking languages that they had not learned, but that each one of them could hear in their own tongue. And they were called drunks for that. Peter, probably irritated by this accusation, but combined with the call of Jesus to preach, and as Jesus said, "Feed my sheep," he stood to speak. His conscience was not going to allow him to miss this opportunity. Peter presents what could be considered this first gospel sermon in Scripture. In this sermon, Peter quotes from the same prophets these men should be familiar with. Of all the Old Testament prophets that Peter could quote, Peter invokes the words of the prophet Joel. This little book of Joel is not a very well-known book today, unless you've read it quite often. Joel himself isn't spoken of often, but to these Jewish people, Joel is very well known. The people at Pentecost believed in Jesus, but even those who mocked Jesus now mocked these apostles. They too awaited the day of the Lord. And by bringing up this passage from Joel, Peter was speaking something quite bold to them. All Jewish people knew the message that Joel had preached. He had preached this message to Judah and to Jerusalem. His prophecy was an impending doom to all who had unrepentant sin. The priests of Joel's day mourned because there was a locust plague that had destroyed everything. There would now be nothing to eat for the people or for the cattle. The animals would be sickly and malnourished. There would be no worthy animals to sacrifice. There was nothing, no grain, no oil. The priests could not perform the worthy offerings to God. All sin became unatoned for sin. When the Jews of Peter's day had seen that the Holy Spirit had poured out on these disciples, this could be seen as a sign of the coming of the day of the Lord, and they weren't prepared. Peter had taken something even these unbelievers would acknowledge. Peter used this time to illustrate what they had done to Jesus. It would get their attention. Joel had mentioned in the last days that God would pour out his Spirit, that their sons and their daughters would prophesy. Young men would see visions. Old men would dream dreams. There would be wonders seen in heaven, such as the sun going dark. There would be signs on earth, such as the quakes and the miracles that Jesus performed. Jesus of Nazareth, who did many of these things before the coming of the day of the Lord, Peter says, "You killed him." How terrified these men of Israel should rightly be. That same day of the Lord that they had heard through Joel was now at hand. and their sins were not atoned for. They weren't ready. They had waited for so long and had kind of put it in the back of their minds. It's at this point that they ask Peter's, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They weren't asking necessarily because they believed in Jesus now. It cut them to their heart because they were convicted by this accusation, but they also saw all the signs. Peter, in his answer, again invokes Joel. This prophet called on Judah and Jerusalem to repent of their sins. Joel said to go and put on sackcloth and lament for what has happened. Well, for these men here in Acts, Peter tells them to repent, but not to put on sackcloth, not to lament, but to put on Christ in baptism. Clothe yourselves with Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is possible, even for the crime of crucifying Jesus, because the cross leads to salvation. We find in this message to the people at Pentecost that the cross is the power that leads to our salvation. The promise given meant that for these Jewish people, they no longer needed the sacrifice of cattle or grain offerings or oil. In Jesus, that final sacrifice had been made. And now with his resurrection, we can also walk in newness of life. Peter tells these people the promise was for everyone who believes, even those who are far off. They could receive forgiveness and the same gift of the Holy Spirit that they had witnessed in these drunk people. With that, the ones who received Peter's word of truth were baptized, and 3,000 were added that day. It seems that we have a hard time even today with forgiveness. We cannot seem to understand how it's possible to forgive really heinous crimes. We have a hard time forgiving ourselves for the things that we've done to others and to God, let alone these bad crimes. But in Christ, we are forgiven. It is Christ's sacrifice on the cross which atones for our sins. In 1 Peter, Peter again, writing this letter that he wrote, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, he said this, "He himself," talking about Jesus, "bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Peter, in this letter here, has referred his readers back to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 6. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." This time of sadness can now be turned into a time of joy because Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's been raised from the dead. The tomb is now empty. And all of this message from Peter in chapter 2 of Acts can now be our message for us today. If we have sins that we have not atoned for, we can be forgiven. Even those of us that might be far off. The day of the Lord is still coming. Jesus promises that he's going to return, and it's going to be a glorious return. Like these Jewish leaders and the people of Acts chapter 2, we may have put it in the back of our minds. How many of us wake up wondering if today is the day of Jesus' return? How many of us live each day as though he's going to be riding on that white horse to bring triumph and renew our world? We often live our lives without this in mind, planning for what's going to happen the next day or the next month or even the next year. We mentioned that this morning in our Bible class, that we often plan for things when everything is not promised. Everything is a mist. And we don't know what's going to happen from this day to the next. And so are we truly prepared? Are we thinking about that? Are we ready? Brothers and sisters, what shall we do? Well, let's take the message that Peter gave them. Repent. Be baptized. It's never too late. We are never too far gone to turn back. Many of us have been clothed with Christ in baptism. That's not my call this morning. There may be a few that need to hear this part. If you're not baptized, you should be. If you're clothed with Christ, you've been baptized. You're clothed with him. And we want to be clothed with Christ, not to be clothed in sackcloth and lament, but clothed in Christ to rejoice and to worship him. We are forgiven. By the grace of God, we have salvation. When we go into the waters, we're buried with Jesus. We die to our old selves. The old is gone. The new has come. Because when we are raised up out of that water, our lives are changed and transformed. We are now part of that resurrection that Jesus brings with his return. And we're awaiting that day with anticipation, not having it in the back of our minds, but at the forefront of our minds, to remember why we live the way we do and who we now belong to. Our scripture reading this morning was from Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. We can be confident in our salvation because the cross leads to salvation for all who believe. All who repent and are baptized are part of that promise. And friends, today we want to repeat that promise. The cross of Christ is our hope. This series on the cross was to remind all of us of all the ways that the cross of Christ is meaningful to us, what it means for us today. And so I hope that as you've heard these messages, that they've been an encouragement to you. That's the purpose, that we remember what the cross was all about. Not merely something of torture and suffering and shame, but to remind us of the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to have a song of invitation at this time. That's an opportunity for anyone who needs to come forward, and maybe you have things that you need to pray for, things that are in the backs of your minds that you want help with. We want to be able to do that with you this morning, to pray for those things. If you have things that you need to repent of, we would certainly love to help you to pray for those for your salvation as well. Maybe you need to be baptized this morning and be truly clothed with Christ. We want to do that too, if that is your need. Whatever your need is, we're going to stand together, we're going to sing. That's an opportunity. I'll stand here, come and find me, and we'll pray together. Let's stand together. Let's sing.